was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, "Listen, I can save you money." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I flew a small airplane up here and I fly a small airplane and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket." And this did not sound, I said, "Gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me." He said, "No, no, no, you gotta do it, you gotta do it." And against every better judgment I had, I said, "Okay." Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front, I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, "Should we pray?" He said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't." I said, "Well, this time we're gonna." And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, "We're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out." I said, "Clouds make you do what?" Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling. And he passes out, passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, "Come on, you gotta wake up so I can kill you." Now we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, "We're dead, aren't we?" I said, "There's a very good chance of that, yes." He said, "What are we gonna do?" I said, "I don't know." But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, "Start asking for help." So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, "Hello, hello." We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was, "Hello." And somebody answered back, "Hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette?" And I said, "Give it to me." I said, "Tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane." The guy said, "I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo." And he said, "You're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you?" I said, "Tell them that's correct." Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, "The first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore." And he said, "I'm gonna get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life." After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, "We understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane." We said, "That's right." They said, "Well, the first thing we gotta do is find you." And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, "My job is to get you home safe." He said, "That's my job." But he said, "Here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice." He said, "You can't see me, but I can see you." And he said, "If you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die." When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, "Okay, I found you. Now hear me clear." He said, "You're 4 minutes from a mountain." He said, "You're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice." I never said, "I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable?" You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, "I'm freezing all the traffic in the area." He said, "It's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride." And he said, "I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice." He said, "If you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it." Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, "We're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, they knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, elsewhere from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opened the door for this man, and the sheep listened to his voice and heeded. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings or leads them out. When he's brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. Jesus used this parable or illustration with them, but they still didn't understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that I myself am the door for the sheep. All others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to and obey them. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And then in the 14th verse, I am the good shepherd, and I know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. Following the voice of God is essential. It's absolutely and vitally necessary in our walk with God. So let's look again at the third and fourth verse of John 10. There's a few sentences in that scripture that stand out. The watchman opens the door for the man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. I underline that because we not only need to listen, we need to obey. He calls his own sheep by name and he brings or leads them out. And when he's brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them. How comforting that is to know that he goes before us. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then the 14th verse says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus talking. I know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. So what do these verses say in a nutshell? I think they say, according to King James Version, John 10:27 says it plainly. It's the way that we're used to hearing it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I'm here to declare to you this morning that we serve a God who has a voice and he speaks. He speaks. Now, the next scripture that I want to share with you emphasizes that God not only has a voice and speaks, but he wants to be sure that we understand him. It's a little known scripture. It's found in Isaiah 45:19, and the New Living translates it this way. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. Wow. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. We are not alone. As outlined in those verses that we just read, 3 and 4 of John 10, Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. He's the one that goes before us. He brings clarity to our situations. He calms the storms in our life. His voice is the one that we need to seek. So, there are many voices, amen, in our heads, especially when we're suffering. We hear the voices of loved ones, those that we respect and care for. And they care for us. And they speak to us to influence us. So our responsibility is to ask, is what they're saying a word from the Lord? And then there are the voices that seek to harm us. The ones that seek to devalue us. They want to bring us into submission to their will and their purposes. And we know that right off the bat, right? They're not the ones that or speaking to lift us up or to point us to God. But often these voices are the ones that are hurtful. They're the ones that we remember. They're designed to make us believe that they're true. And unfortunately, we often focus on those voices. And then there are the storms in our life that bring pain physically and mentally, emotionally. And if we are truthful, we know that those voices are often the loudest. When you're overwhelmed with physical pain, when you're overwhelmed with emotional pain, it can be hard to hear anything else. In those times, it takes real effort to hear the voice of God. So there are some points from the video that I just shared that I think we can learn from. First, when they were in the clouds, they couldn't see anything. They became disoriented. Nothing makes sense when you're overwhelmed and you can't see your way out. More than once, he told the man to listen to the voice because if he didn't, he would die. True faith is when you can't see, but you believe anyway. Paul pointed to Abraham in Romans 4, and I'm reading out of the Message translation. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what he saw God could do. The voice told them that even though they couldn't see him, he could see them. That controller knew right where they were. And I'm here to tell you this morning that our God knows right where you are. We are not lost to him in our suffering. I think David put it the best in Psalm 139. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." God knows where we are. God knows what we're going through. We are not lost to him. There is another point I want to bring out. Did you notice that even though the voice was guiding them, the storm remained? They flew through a lot of severe weather. And they were warned not to look at the storm, but instead to obey the voice. So, do we have any Chosen fans? And, you know, that's close to my heart since I starred in one of their things. But I was so far back, nobody could see me, but I was there. There is, in the second season, they depicted the Pool of Bethesda. You know the story. The man had all kind of excuses why he couldn't reach the pool and be healed. But there's a line in that scene that speaks volumes. The actor who plays Jesus looks at the man and he says these words, "You don't need this pool. You only need me." And that's what Jesus is saying to us today. You don't need somebody that you respect. You don't need some celebrity. You don't need some official government person. You need Jesus. His voice is the one that we have to follow. Jesus told his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And because of this, we can say with David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. When the storm remains, you must continue to follow and obey the voice of God. So it begs the question, how do you know you're hearing the voice of God? And what do you do as you hear it, as you wait to hear it? You know, we all go through seasons in our lives where troubles appear to outweigh the good. And sometimes the onslaught of negativity seems overwhelming. The truth is, none of us are immune to trouble. And when we're under that cloud of disillusionment, it can be hard to hear the voice of God. So when this happens, it comes down to a five-letter word, T-R-U-S-T, trust, trust. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." A long time ago, I was in my prayer closet, and I heard the Lord say to me that you don't have to understand in order to trust. It's an act of faith. When you simply can't hear the voice of God, you must walk in the truth that you know. We know from Scripture in John 17:17 that his word is truth. And we know that John 16:13 says the Holy Spirit leads and guides us to all truth. Paul continues to talk about Abraham, and he says these words: he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Are you fully persuaded when you're in the midst of your storm? When you're facing challenges that are beyond yourself? Do you believe that God will do what he promised? So I want to ask you the question, what's the truth that you're certain about? What revelation from God's word are you standing and believing upon? And here are a few truths from God's words that we can walk in. When we serve God, he promises to deliver us. Daniel 6:16 quotes King Darius, who spoke the truth to Daniel when he was convicted of going against the decree to worship no other god. He said, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Isn't that wonderful? That's a word to God to you, and it's a word of God to me. The God we serve continually will deliver us. It's something we can take to the bank, because his ultimate goal is to deliver us. The second, God never forsakes us in our trouble. You know, the voice of Satan gets especially loud when a lot of time has gone by. When you're waiting to hear God's voice, Satan, his voice just starts getting so loud that he would have you believe that you're alone and that God no longer cares about what you're going through. But we must remember God's promise. I want to share with you this morning one of my life verses. It's in Hebrews 13:5. I like it especially the second half of that verse in the Amplified Version. And it reads, "For God himself has said." So to quote our pastor, stop right there. God himself has said. You can't get any higher authority than him. He said, I will not in any way fail you or give you up, leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. You think he was serious? Oh, yeah. God promises. So while you're waiting on the voice of the Lord to tell you what to do, be like David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And find strength in your God. Find your strength in his promises, because he never, ever lies. And then God is on our side. Because we're the children of God, we can stand on his promises, right? Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." I want you to look at this verse real hard. This verse is not a cliche. It's not. It's not something that is a catch-all scripture. It's not something we quote to make ourselves feel good. It is a promise. It's a promise from our Heavenly Father. He loves and specializes in making something good out of chaos. And he loves to bring light into our darkness. And he enjoys turning around the awfulness that life sometimes brings us. Amy Seyfried is the author of Grace Looks Good on You. And in a devotional, she said the following words that I hope resonate with you today. all things are not good, but we have a good God in all things. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. While we're waiting to hear God's voice in our situation, we can walk in the truth that we know. We know that he'll deliver us. We know that he's with us, and we know that he's on our side. When you're facing a situation that is overwhelming, you long to hear the words in scripture. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, this is the way. Walk in it. But can I tell you something? You'll never hear those words if you abandon the truth that you know. If you forget the truth that he's placed in your heart by spending time with him in the scriptures and spending time with him in prayer. And listening, of course, to trusted voices of God that has shared the truth of God's word with you. I asked you earlier, what truth were you certain about? So while waiting to hear the voice for your situation, you can be certain that Jesus loves you. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. You can be certain that he's thinking about you. Psalm 139 verses 17 and 18 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. You can be certain that he'll be faithful to you. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep his commandments. You can be certain that he'll never break the covenant he has with you. Psalm 89:34. So I will not break my covenant, and I will not take back a single word I said. But here's the good news. Even when we mess up, even when we doubt, and even when we look elsewhere for answers, we can be certain that God remains faithful to his word. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. God's word is truth. God's word is what we walk in. Jesus is the truth that we know. We hear God's voice when we walk in God's word. So I want to leave you this morning with words from the video that we watched earlier, because I believe that it is the voice of God saying to each one of us, stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head. And don't watch the storm. Stay with me, and I'll take you through. Brothers and sisters, follow the voice of God. Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, then nothing I said applies to you. You don't have access to the Lord because you can't hear his voice. But you can change that right now, right at this moment. You can pray with me and agree with me. You can say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I'm in need of salvation. I'm in need of your grace. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And I believe your word says I'll be saved. And just like that, you have access to the throne of grace. And he will help you in your time of need. So before we leave, I just want to pray over everybody. If you'll just bow your head and close your eyes as we approach the throne of God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Thank you for giving us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word today. let each of us hear your voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Help us not to abandon your truth should we mess up and miss you, but let us stand assured that you have not abandoned us. You are with us, and you will take us through. You'll do it because you're a good God. You'll do it because you love us, and you desire only our good. So we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. See, now you weren't here for 2 hours. God bless you. Drive safe. Amen.